Welcome to the Onyx Podcast. My name is Matthew Dawkins, and I am accompanied by my co-hosts. I've already screwed it up. We're not going to retake, though, because we're on the spot. We're Johnny on the spot. We like to roll with the punches, flow with the wind, and my co-hosts today are Dixie Cochran.
No.
And Eddie Webb.
Nah.
Okay.
Wait, why are we saying no?
I'm here alone, and my co-hosts have taken a selective vow of silence. They will laugh at me and they will say no, but other than that, they refuse to engage. And today,
you read a lot into me just saying no to be silly.
Our episode today is something you may have already seen, but possibly not. And certainly you're not going to be seeing it right now unless you are staring at your Podbean app or whatever medium by which you're listening to us. We recently did an actual play of Scion 2nd Edition, Scion Origin, on the Onyx Path YouTube channel. And if you haven't subscribed to it, I recommend that you do. And it was using characters that we created on the Pathcast several months ago. So... I have edited down that footage, and it will be nicely sandwiched between an intro and an outro. So there is some original content here, but if you are someone who prefers to listen and not to watch a YouTube video, then that's absolutely fine, because you get to enjoy listening to us roleplay on the podcast.
If you're repulsed by our faces, this is the way to go.
again, best not to look at your app, because our faces are probably going to be there in some kind of animated format. Well, illustrated. I don't think we jump up and down, which is a shame.
We should work on that.
I want a GIF. I want a GIF of us doing some kind of boom, 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 boom.
Well, we have to all be in the same place for that to happen, and that never happens.
Well, that'll be next January then, I suppose.
Yeah. We could do, like, the Peanuts dance.
Yeah.
I can't sing that. We'll get sued. Never mind.
Okay, so, you can sing fewer than 30 seconds of anything and not get sued.
Oh, okay.
but, yeah, so we are going to make that our mission for Midwinter next year.
Yeah.
Do something gif-able of the three of us.
Okay, all right. Anything else, though, can go hang. We don't need to have any business meetings or anything like that. We're just meeting in Milwaukee, of all places, to make a gif, and then we'll go our separate ways for another year.
Yeah, exactly. If there's snow on the ground, we can do snow angels. We have many gif-able things we could be doing.
Yeah, I like that.
Also, we're all saying gif, and some listener is going to yell at us and say that it's actually gif.
Well, actually.
I think you'll find.
The person who created that says gif.
A character I recently introduced into the Horror on the Orient Express campaign that I'm running is someone I kind of base on a Monty Python character, a sort of an amalgamation of Michael Palin characters. Mm. And he's just a thoroughly dull man that knows an awful lot about dull things. And so when the characters were walking around the Louvre and they see this anorak, I guess, standing there admiring a painting, they say, oh, you know, do you know anything about this painting of the King in Yellow, for example? And well, actually, it's a very interesting thing, because while there haven't been any yellow kings in the United Kingdom from where I'm from, I am a bit of an expert on monarchs of the Suffolk Downs and how they existed between the years of 400 AD and 602 AD, which is a very interesting year. And I will generally rattle on like that without any repetition for a good 3 or 4 minutes. And it's a nice character to play, but the problem is, obviously, it's not very horrific. He's a palate cleanser. And now they just want him to follow them around everywhere. They want him on the Orient Express. They bought him a ticket. And so I'm faced with having this Reginald Pewty character saying, well, actually, the most interesting thing about elder gods is that they're not the same thing as great old ones at all. While they may have similar appendages, tentacles, mouths, eyeballs, and such, they do, in fact, exist in a different place in time. And so on. And I could have him eaten.
I was going to say, you know this means you have to kill him, right?
Yeah.
If you want to get out of this, you're going to have to kill him.
This reminds me very much of Moby Dick, of course, one of my favourite Melville novels, as he's being consumed. But what I'm actually thinking of is Jonah and the whale, because, of course, in Moby Dick, you don't see anyone being swallowed by the whale. That would be gratuitous. And, yeah, that's what the last thing you would hear as Haster was first consuming.
Right.
You also sound quite dark in here.
Oh, I didn't
get
know
out
you
of
had
this in Pinocchio.
Yes, I'll have to jot that down and send a postcard back home.
You get a postcard from the inside of a great old one, like, yeah. 2 weeks later.
Dear mother. You wouldn't believe what I encountered in the Alps. Anyway, so...
I think that this guy needs his own podcast. I think that Eddie and I should just leave.
Right, seriously.
Let him do his own podcast.
Yeah, how long can Matthew go without breathing and just talking about random crap?
I've seen your YouTube channel. There's many hours of content.
I was also going to say about 54 episodes on the podcast, at least. But...
very good, very good. All right, let's get on with this.
How droll.
Actual play.
Hello and welcome to the Onyx Path Publishing YouTube channel. And for those of you listening, this will be for the Onyx Path cast. And it will be our first actual play on the Onyx Path cast, but not our first actual play on the Onyx Path Publishing YouTube channel. And we are playing. Don't worry, we'll get there. We'll get there.
You know how hard it is right now for me not to say welcome to the Onyx Path cast.
Joined by my co-hosts. So most people who have been watching this channel will at the very least be familiar with my face. I'm Matthew Dawkins, and I am joined by my co-hosts from the Onyx Pathcast, who you are probably familiar with anyway, Dixie Cochran.
Hello.
And Eddie Webb.
Hello.
And our hellos on this video are pretty normal as far as our usual recording goes.
Now you can see us, so it's a whole different level of expectation now.
Yeah, we can't do anything too wacky or zany.
I make a lot of faces, and I think that some of the listeners who have never seen me might not be prepared for that, because I'm constantly like...
Think of the number of times on the podcast we have referenced something visual and then said, but of course you can't see that, because... This is a podcast. This is like a brand new revolution of media. We've broken the fourth wall.
And it's even better is because then we're going to turn this into an audio podcast. So immediately invalidating everything we just gained by doing it this way.
We're so good at stuff.
We're so good at this.
Yeah. So what is the purpose? Why are we here? What's the point? We are...
I don't know. I'm leaving.
Life. What about life?
So those of you who have joined us for the live stream based on our work on the Pathcast, thank you very much. And thank you so much for listening to the Pathcast for so long, if you've been listening to it for so long, because we've had a great deal of fun with that. And this is the first time the three of us are actually gaming together, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've ran a game for Eddie before. I've participated in a playtest with Dixie before, but we've never all...
And Dixie and I have played together before.
10 to 12 years ago.
Yes.
Once.
Back when the Earth was new.
And as Josh Heath has just pointed out in the comments section and the live chat, that's right, Josh, we're reading your chat as this game is going on. You can throw in your 3 cents as we play. So what I'm going to be doing is running Scion 2nd Edition, specifically Scion Origin, for these good folk. And
Scion.
Oh, yes, and Dixie has a hard copy. You listeners of the Onyx Pathcast won't be able to see, but you watchers of the live stream will. Dixie, say something so the camera moves to you.
Hello, it's me. Here's a copy of Scion. Yay.
Doesn't it look beautiful? It sounds beautiful as well, I can assure you. Now, the benefit of tuning into this live is we will do a little bit of audience participation during this game. A little bit. Whenever it's appropriate, if the players are ever unsure of where to go next, we will turn it over to you, the viewers, and I will, of course, commentate and read through some of your suggestions in the chat so the people who are listening, just listening, don't miss out. But we will we'll interact with our audience, and hopefully you will interact with us, and that will make the game even more fun. So, without further ado, Scion 2nd Edition. Eddie and Dixie created their characters on an episode of the Onyx Pathcast several months ago.
Mm-hmm. And back on episode 28, I found out today when I was showing it to somebody.
Wow.
Okay, so yeah, I thought it was way more recent than that. And I was like, oh, crap.
Well, you know what they say about herding players.
Right.
As if this wasn't my fault at all.
Yes, it's totally our fault.
And even if you were a listener to the Onyx Pathcast, or are a listener to the Onyx Pathcast, I'm assuming from this recording you're not immediately unsubscribing, you have probably forgotten the details of the characters that are being played. So we're not going to break those characters down stat point by stat point. But what we will do is just have a bit of an introduction of the characters that are in play in this game of Scion. So we'll start with you, Dixie. Who are you playing? Give us the key points.
I'm playing a character named Phaedra Maras. She goes by Faye. She is recently out of college. She was raised by a single dad who was kind of absent, like absent professor type. So she went through all the learning she was supposed to do and everything, and she's kind of just disaffected with the world as it is. So kind of think like the punk rock activist type. Probably early 20s, I think I made her. I have a character sheet, but it's in pen because I commit lots of role-playing sins. And also, I wrote it several months ago, so I'll try to reference it. We'll see.
Have you ever been a role player that writes in their book?
No. God, no. I don't write in books.
Never written in the margin of books or anything like that.
No, who does that?
I do that.
No, books are sacred.
I do it especially with monster manuals, that kind of thing. So, Eddie, who are you playing?
I am playing Kian Sweeney. He is a medical resident. He grew up in Ireland, around the Maynooth area. Then he's come over to the U.S. for the past several years to go into an emergency medicine residency. So he's not a full doctor yet, but he's trying to. He's also a little lost. He's still trying to figure out what he could do with his life because he's not entirely sure he wants to be a doctor yet.
He's definitely got an athletic angle to him, hasn't he?
Yes, he grew up in love with sport, but he realized that sport was not going to get him the kind of career he wanted. And he thought that medicine would, and now he's now wondering if he's only doing it because it was for the money or if there's another higher calling. Spoiler alert, there's a higher calling.
Now, Scions at this point in the game aren't necessarily, or almost definitely, aren't aware of their divine parentage. That's something that will get revealed later on in the game, later on in the story. Do we want to say out of character who these characters are linked to, god-wise?
Sure. Sure, why not?
Go for it, Eddie.
Go for it.
Okay, mine is Dion Sect, which is the god of healing of the Tuath Dedannan.
And mine is Persephone, so goddess of a bunch of things, but mostly I chose her for the light and dark aspects, so the punk rock rebel versus the higher calling activist from the Thiwi.
And our game is going to be set in the beautiful city of Miami. And something big and bad is going to happen very early on in our story. What I need to ascertain from the two players at this point is what Kian and what Faye are doing late at night in the Mandarin Hotel in South Beach, Miami.
What time of the year is this?
It's going to be summer. So it could be summer break.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe it's the he decided to skip classes for the summer just to kind of get his head together and went down with a bunch of friends in Miami to do the usual early 20s things, go out there, get drunk, make some bad decisions.
I'd say I'm there for a punk show, so I'm at the hotel with some of my friends at like an after party type thing. There's a couple of my friends and I drove down, you know, see a show, hang out.
Okay. So maybe, how about this? Maybe we say maybe that turns out one of our friends, we have a friend in common inadvertently. So I get dragged along to the after show.
Sure. So we can start in the same place if you want.
Yeah. So we meet, we're at the same party when it starts.
Yeah, I think that works. You're an after party. Your mutual friend is a lady by the name of Liza Washington. Mm-hmm. Or just Liza works. And she's introduced the both of you already. You're at the bar on the third floor of the Mandarin. And the Mandarin Hotel isn't the Ritz. It's not top class. It's not the Four Seasons, but it's on South Beach, so it's pretty damn expensive. So you've both gained money from somewhere or other. Maybe you've just shared rooms with a whole bunch of other tourists to stump up the fee, but it isn't the most high class. Now, Miami, of course, South Beach, well known for its cabana bars, for its the heat haze off the road, for its long shoreline and beautiful sea, sparkling blue, and of course, complete propensity for violent crime. Now, Miami in this game, in this story, is going through a bit of a heat wave, as it sometimes does at this time of year. The sounds of mambo music coming from the streets are going to be blaring all night, all the way through to the dawn hours, but the cocktails never stop being served because this is a tourist place. Mm-hmm. If you come to South Beach, if you're not drinking in the hotel, you're drinking in the street, or you're drinking on the beach.
Right.
And all those outdoor bars, they're fantastic. But you've turned in. This after party is in the Mandarin Hotel itself. A whole bunch of you are just taking it easy, relaxing a little after seeing a fantastic show. And that's when it happens. That's when disaster strikes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, indeed. No warning, no alert, no sirens blaring. Yeah, the wind picks up a little. There's a brief shower of rain that's atypical for a heat wave like this, but certainly no one calls attention to it. At least not in time, not on the third floor of the Mandarin Hotel. The first you become aware of it is the sudden rattling of windows. The Mandarin overlooks the seashore. And the sudden blast of glass inward. You may have witnessed or experienced something like this before. You've probably seen something like this on the news. You've all heard of tsunamis, of typhoons, of hurricanes, especially in this part of the world. But maybe you've never been right in the center of one. And certainly you've always thought they came with a little more warning than this. This seems, you don't have enough time to really think that this seems unnatural, but it is. The hotel, the entire South Beach, is blasted with a sudden gale, with a sudden storm, with a hurricane that hits your hotel. And it's not even minutes. Doesn't take a minute for the hotel to get rocked. These buildings aren't expensively made. They're not made to last. Beams start collapsing. Floors start to buckle. People are screaming. Lights are flickering. You can hear the screams out on the streets as well. Occasionally you see something far too heavy to be airborne whiz by the window. There's a cacophony of noise and motion. 1 minute, you are stood at the bar, listening to the barman, a tender by the name of Tully Grant, telling you all about his night.
Mm.
1 minute later, people are laying all over the place. Heavy furniture is pinning some people down. A bit of wall has collapsed. All the windows are blasted open. And the wind has not stopped howling outside. Over to you.
Sorry, I had to unplug my Alexa.
Did you think there was a hurricane coming?
I think so. I was waiting for it to start giving a weather report in Atlanta. So I'm probably going to first try to see if everyone around me is okay. I mean, everyone's, you know, there's a difference between being freaked out that things are slamming around and moving around, the other thing, and people are like, you know, critically injured, need medical attention. So it's kind of the instinct of, okay, look around. Is anyone badly hurt, obviously hurt?
Yeah, definitely. It's best to almost describe this as an attack. It certainly feels like it. There's already a healthy dose of paranoia about such things. Has left your mutual friend, you as a medical student, can see the signs, or you can tell when someone's body is bent in a shape that it shouldn't be, and a piece of ceiling, a piece of bar rebar from the ceiling had in the blast gone phoom, straight down, smacked her in the head. She's still intact, but motionless, and you don't think she's going to be finding movement again. She's far from the only casualty. The barman you were just talking to, the wall behind him has fallen on him. You can see that some people are pinned by heavy furniture. Even the glass that blew in from the windows has clearly lacerated several people. The amount of screaming that's going on is unlike anything you've ever experienced before. In fact, the motion has all but stopped. People are dazed from what's happened. Could have been a bomb blast. But no, the wind outside is still howling. Definitely a natural disaster.
Okay. Then probably, Keen's probably going to immediately go into triage. It's like, okay, it's unfortunate that, you know, our mutual friends are deceased, but it's like, okay, I gotta go for the people who need treatment now. He's going to, first thing is just try to find something around they can use for equipment, like, you know, bar rags, they can get those clean somehow, you know, is there alcohol under the bar or something, anything you can find.
There's plenty of alcohol, plenty of bar mats, and if you particularly want to go up to the window, although that may seem a little too dangerous, you could even drag down some of the heavy drapes that were tied up.
Okay. Then I'll start doing that.
I'm going to focus on the people who are pinned but seem to be moving and lucid. Try getting furniture off of them.
One of the other attendees at this party, you hadn't seen her at the concert, but she was definitely at the after party and had been speaking briefly to Kian, another Irish woman by the name of Aileen. You can see that she is trapped under the partly collapsed ceiling. She'd been making friendly with him for the last hour or so, but certainly I doubt she's in the mood for that now. She's buried pretty much up to the up to her middle of her back. You can't see her legs under the rubble, but she's conscious and she's reaching out towards Faye as Faye's eyes connect with her, and she's saying, "Please, please, please, just pull me out."
Okay, I can try to pull her out. Strength is not my strong suit, but if not, I can try to get things off of her. So yeah, you want me to roll for this?
Yes, please.
Am I rolling?
You are rolling. You are the first dice roll of the game. What skill and what attribute do you want to pair for this?
That's my issue with skills. I said I made this a very social character. I have nothing that's really helpful. Leadership? Try to get her out, maybe? Try to convince her to get out?
Yeah, you know, you might want to convince, you know, can you move your legs? You know, can you help with this? That kind of thing. I think that's doable if you pair leadership with, what are you thinking?
I probably just might.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Let's try that.
Yay, story path.
Oh, two successes.
Two successes. Okay, nice. Obviously, there is a complication involved in this. Should have announced that first, given that there's a great amount of rubble on her, but two successes is enough to nullify that complication. Mm-hmm. One success.
Biopsy complication, one success.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is enough to start shifting her free. Luckily, the rubble on top of her isn't heavy. She's not trapped by boulders on the entire way to the ceiling. So you're able to pull her out, and you can see straight away. You don't need to be a medical professional to see that her legs are badly busted up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it creates a small sense of satisfaction to know that you've at least freed her from imminent danger. She's thanking you. She's thanking you, but you can see she's in shock. Her eyes keep rolling. She's stuttering over her words.
Yeah, like, can, when you say busted up, can she, what, can she move her legs, or are we talking like compound fractures?
No compound fractures. Again, it's just her legs aren't moving. You've dragged her free. She's shown no movement below the waist.
Okay, ask her if she can move her legs.
No, I can't move them at all.
Okay. I'm going to call Kian over. Kian.
Yeah, okay. I got to come with this.
Okay.
And he rushes over. And like in a moment of like, oh, you know. I have a, dig it up here, knack. One of my knacks is with a glance. Diagnose what is wrong with an ailing target and any pertinent medical information. So I can immediately just go, you know, kind of like house MD, bing, and immediately what's wrong with you.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, in that case, yeah, you can see that the fact that she's not able to move her legs, your initial instinct is, oh God, is her back broken?
Mm-hmm.
But you give her more than a glance. No, there is motion there. You think her legs are broken. Both of her legs are broken. Probably her femurs. But the fact that there is a little bit of motion there means it's potentially recoverable. You can't see any blood, so there's no compound fractures, as already pointed out. But the fact that she can't move her legs may just be a symptom of the fact that she's still in shock after being buried under rubble.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be like, you know, good news is, looks like it's not gonna be permanent. It's gonna hurt for a while, but I need you to work with me on yours. Okay, so I need you to, you know, start talking her through. It's like, you know, I need you to calm down. And basically, my main goal here is to get her to relax a bit more, because it's a very scary situation, so that I can then start to help her out.
As you're talking to her, essentially applying a bit of bedside manner, she's leaning in, and through her dazed, disorientated state, she's saying, please, you've got to get me out of here. You've got to get me out of here. I need to get out of here. I need to get out. And then she's on the verge of passing out.
Okay. Honestly, I'm probably going to actually, as I'm working with her, because it's going to be very painful, I'm going to actually probably be a little rougher than I need to be to kind of help nudge her into the passing out. It's probably better for her if she's unconscious. If she's not moving as much, she'll be feeling pain.
That's true. There's not very much you can do about internal bleeding, if there is any, from where you are right now.
Right. But if she's trying to leave or escape, she may get up and try to walk on her legs, which may make things worse.
Exactly. You make her comfortable, as comfortable as she can be in this bar. At the same time, an old man, Latino fellow, who you had encountered earlier, introduced himself as Hector. He runs up to Faye, seeing that she's up and about and helping people. He says, please young lady, my wife, she didn't come back from the restroom, and it's behind that collapsed door frame, and I please, can you help me get through to her?
Sure, I'll go check on that. Yeah, tell him just to sit down, calm down. I'll go see what I can do. I will start heading that way.
So yeah, as described, the doorway to the restroom has the door frame has collapsed, and the plaster work above it is bulging rather dangerously down. Looks like it could just fall straight through at any point.
Is there still a door there?
No, that's fallen. It's been basically splintered off its hinges when the frame just collapsed around it. You're looking at a frame that's more M-shaped than rectangular.
Right. Is there anything that's like smaller than the door that I can use to just kind of like put over my head to walk in there, like a turtle?
Chair.
So I can. Okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go in there with something over my head in case plaster starts falling on me. And I'm gonna just start calling around and say, you know, is anybody in here? What does that look like once you're inside?
He calls out after you. Her name is Livia.
Okay, Livia, you here?
Help! Help!
Okay.
You can hear the voice of a distressed old lady in the ladies' restroom.
Okay, move toward the voice.
The room is pretty much intact, thankfully. But you can see an old woman. She's sat on the floor. She's clutching the sink, and she's just terrified. She's shaking. Please, I'm so scared.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to get you up. Your husband's waiting for you in the other room. Come on, can you walk?
Yes, I think so. I think I can walk. She pulls herself up and holds onto your hand, and she's shaking like it was going out of style.
Okay, I'm going to use... What?
Empathy?
I was going to say I'm going to use leadership and... manipulation to just give her like a little bolster talk.
Oh yeah, that makes sense, because everything's gonna be fine. Everything's wonderful. Nothing's gonna go wrong.
Everything's gonna be great. Your husband's waiting for you. We're gonna get you home. You're gonna see your grandkids. It'll be awesome.
Exactly.
We'll tell you the truth about all of that.
It'll be totally cool. And I'm gonna hold the chair over her head as we're walking out. But
here's a complication. Here's a complication suggested by viewer Malcolm Shepherd, someone we all know. I have severe claustrophobia, severe crush syndrome. I hate being in enclosed spaces like
okay.
this.
Okay, well, let's get you out of here. Three successes. I have leadership and manipulation's kind of my jam. So, yeah, three successes so I can buy it off. No, four. Four successes. So, yeah, four. I buy it off.
Oh,
and
nice.
I still have three to work with.
Very nice. Okay, she looks at you earnestly. She bites her lip. She nods. So okay. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I trust you. I trust you. Please just keep me safe.
I'm gonna let her walk kind of like ahead of me. Like I said, I'm gonna hold the chair over her. So if anything does start to fall, I can try to like catch it and move it to the side.
Mm.
I'm probably stronger than this old lady.
Yeah, almost definitely. There are a few collapsing pieces of ceiling and ceiling tile that connect with the chair and the floor around you.
Mm-hmm.
But you manage to help her avoid getting her head caved in.
Yeah, weather's super weird in Miami, huh? Yeah, let's get you home.
As you get her out to the main bar again, it's like her fear dissipates and she runs over to her husband and holds him in her arms. And it's a sweet moment in an otherwise tragic tableau. As, again, things aren't improving outside. And due to the flickering of the lights, clearly when the hurricane hit the hotel, it's... something has either collapsed on the generator or severed the main power line or something like that, because the lighting in here is very unreliable and it makes the situation more tense for anyone already experiencing fear here. They aren't helped. There's a few people who have now taken to looking out of the windows despite the storm raging outside. One of them turns back deathly pale. Oh God! I think the hotel is in the sea. I think we've been hit by a tidal wave or something. I can't see where the land starts. Just looking down, I mean, it's dark out there, but anyone who is out there on the beach or in the road must just be gone.
Okay. I'm definitely going to go to the window now. You know, it's dangerous.
I have to go look.
Clearly, he's obviously... nothing bad could possibly be happening here. He's probably just exaggerating.
Yeah.
You go over to the window, and it is still blowing a severe gale outside. You're not sure you're in on the edge of a hurricane anymore. You may, in fact, be in the eye of one, because looking down, yeah, the front of the hotel is being buffeted by the sea, and it hasn't withdrawn yet. So escape through the first floor is unlikely. How to get out of here, you're not sure, or whether to just stay and wait for the correct authorities to come and rescue you. They're not going to be coming anytime soon in a storm like this.
That'd be a fun Scion game, right? If we just sat here waiting to be rescued for the next 2 hours.
Right. We'll wait for the authorities.
Well, you're not heroes. Yeah, you're not heroes yet.
I'm just going to sit here and play on my phone.
Yes. Does it water like it's okay? Can we get out of this bar?
Yeah.
Or we're completely trapped. Okay, so we can leave. I'm going to head to the staircase, and mainly I'm going to try to get as far down as I can until I hit water to get a sense of if the water is rising in the building.
As you head towards that staircase, there is a man running up it. He looks terrified. He grabs you and he says, "You look strong." He looks over his shoulders.
I get that a lot.
"Look, I need to get something from my room. I really need to get something from my room. I can't lose it in this storm. It's just a few floors up. Can you come with me? I'll pay you. I will pay you. Just, we can't get distracted by anything or anyone else, but you need to come up with me to my room right now."
Sure, buddy. I mean, I'm happy to help out. But what do you need? Because we need to figure out how to get out of here and everything.
That doesn't matter as much. I know that this probably sounds insane, but trust me. Look, I can make it worth your while. We need to get up to the fifth floor. There's only two floors up. We just need to get up to the fifth floor. And I will make it worth your while, but we need to move fast.
Sure. One sec. Let me grab someone to help us out. I'm gonna head back. It's like, hey, Faye, right?
Yep.
Could you do me a favor? There's a guy who wants to heat something up on the fifth floor, and look around quick. I'd rather not go by myself, if you know what I mean. I could use someone else to keep an eye out.
There's still people trapped here. What are you?
I know. Let's figure out what this guy wants. Get him calmed down, and then also get a chance to maybe get to the roof and see if we can get a better view of what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. I guess seeing what's happening is good.
It's like 5 minutes, but I just
now that Hector and Livia are calmed down too, I'm gonna try to see if Hector can start maybe helping some of the folks who are pinned under smaller things.
That's a good idea.
He seems nice.
And actually, you had, if I remember, you had some extra successes. Maybe you can use those to kind of give Hector an enhancement to kind of say, hey, you know, help him calm down the room too.
There we go. Yeah. I forgot I could do that in Scion. Thank you, Ellie. Yeah.
That's all the joy of story path.
Yeah, I am going to use some of my enhancement to kind of try to extend that calm to Hector and be like, hey, let's do whatever the nice girl tells you. Like, try to see if anybody needs anything, see what you can do. If anybody's, you know, bleeding, there's probably a first aid kit under the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, do your thing. I'm just going to go for a minute. I'll be back. I'm not leaving. Okay.
I'm not going to make you roll or anything like that for that, because I think that's a good idea. Using the extra successes, having calmed Hector and his wife, both of them are now prepared to do their bit and help anyone else who's injured or otherwise trapped. Unfortunately, it does seem most of the people who have been trapped under masonry aren't going to be getting up. But it's the people who've been lacerated by glass mostly who need the assistance, and Hector and Livia are able to aid in that.
Yeah, I can really tell them, say, hey, you know, just, you know, take these, put pressure on these things. I'll be back in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no.
Here's some bar napkins. Here's some whiskey. Here's Band-Aid kit. Have fun.
Okay. So you both head out to the stairwell where you are met by your new friend. Who's this?
Just a friend of mine. We're just going to help you get your thing so we can get done back here as fast as possible. Figure many hands make light work. Let's go. Show us where you need to go.
All right, okay, I don't have time to argue. We need to get up to the fifth floor. I'd appreciate if you go ahead. I'll go between the two of you if that's all right. I don't want to be taking point. I'll pay you. I'll make it worth your while.
I mean, sure, no problem. You kind of look over his shoulder, like to Faye, like, no, sure, yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at least he doesn't want to go behind us. So yeah, let's do
Right,
this.
yeah.
For intents and purposes, this guy looks like a businessman. He's still wearing a suit from work. It doesn't look like he's been out partying in it. And he looks as disheveled and unruly as most of the other people around here, albeit with probably a day's worth of sweat. Certainly, he looks very unsteady about everything that's going on. So you ascend the staircase, reaching the fourth floor. And it's only as you reach the fourth floor that you truly come to appreciate how badly this hotel has been hit. Looking down the corridor, you know how hotels are built, of course, and or how they're laid out, I should say. And it's not easy to see from a stairwell all the way to the other end of the building. Usually there's lots of winding corridors between rooms if it's not some leisure facilities floor. And this is a floor just built for hotel rooms. And yet, you can see, if you look to your right, the open front of your hotel. The wall above the third floor has just come clean away and presumably collapsed into the sea or blown off. It's been stripped clean off the building. The ceiling is again bulging downward in an incredibly threatening way. And you can see there's at least a dozen rooms between you and that open front wall. And those rooms may contain people. And the ceiling is just on the verge of collapse. Looking left, the hotel towards the rear, you assume, is looking slightly safer, but the front of the hotel has been hit hard by this disaster. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. That's not our concern. We just need to go upstairs again. We need to get to the fifth floor.
What is in your room that could be so important? There could be people, like families, in here.
I'm sure they're absolutely fine. I'm sure that they aren't going to get caught up in this at all, any more than they already are. I've got something very valuable to me. I've got something very valuable to me in my room safe, and I need to get it before anyone else does.
Look at Kian. All
Yeah.
squinty like.
Listen, I know I can see why you're not going to trust me. So he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a
Oh.
wad of bills.
Oh,
Okay.
okay.
A big gun.
That's definitely what I thought was about to happen.
He puts his hands up. But I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I certainly didn't mean to threaten you. No. He pulls a wad of bills. How much to just. Everyone on this floor will be fine. I'm sure they'll be fine. Emergency services will be here soon. I've got this money. You name your price. Just let's go upstairs, please. Let's get to my room. Let's get to my room, get to my safe, and then you can do whatever.
All right, look, I don't want your money. You keep giving me money. I don't want your money. I just promise me once we get this, whatever the effect, this thing is so important, we can come back down here and check on people. You help us get people out of here. We'll get your thing, but then you gotta help the two of us start getting people out of here. That's my deal. That's my payment.
Fine. Yeah. I'll come back down here and I'll help you
Fine.
with people in their rooms. Yeah.
All right, then let's do it. Let's go.
As y'all start walking up the stairs, I am gonna at least like bang on the wall or on like the one door nearest me and yell real loud. Like, if you're near the front of the hotel on the fourth floor, you might want to get the fuck to the back. Like,
yeah.
Give him at least like a warning. Because, you know, someone yells in a hotel corridor, all the rooms can hear it. So.
Right. Yeah, because it echoes.
Yeah. Give it a bit of a scream. There we go.
There's, you hear some shouts and screams from the rooms, not as a result of your banging on the wall necessarily, but without seeing inside the rooms, you don't know what damage has already occurred in there. And right. In a way, it's a dreadful thing to even consider that someone might just be trapped in a room and no one's going in to help them. But you have said you'll be coming back down here, and
always coming back down.
It's your word.
I mean, this should take us all of 45 seconds, hopefully. Hopefully, if his room still exists.
There's nothing obvious or nefarious in that room, I'm sure. Let's quickly go in there, get his passport or whatever, and then be gone.
Yeah. So you go up to the fifth floor. The fifth floor is remarkably well preserved compared to the disaster zone that is the floor below it. And indeed, looking out to the right, as you did before, again, the wall is absent. So it appears that the wall was sheared off from pretty much the fourth floor up, but the ceiling isn't showing as much damage. The floor has taken a bit of a shallow U shape where it appears the floor is at some point just going to collapse down. But the walls, there's no cracks showing, no doors hanging open. There's people bustling in and out of rooms. Some of them are carrying luggage, making their way down the stairs, trying to clearly make their way towards the exit. They're ignoring you. I mean, why would anyone head up at a time like this?
Right.
But no one is asking you for help. You're largely just being ignored.
Okay.
My room's near the front, but I'm sure it's going to be safe. He gets his room key out, you know, sliding card.
God damn it.
This way around, this way.
Worst time.
He's fucking good. He makes his way to the room. He keeps looking over his shoulder, and when he sees you, he smiles and he puts the key in the door.
I'm picking this face the whole time, just
right. Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to punch this guy if I have to.
I mean, I was just at a punk show. I'm probably in like combat boots and a ripped up t-shirt. You know how I always dress.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I angry.
You're fresh off a mosh pit, so you're ready for the shit.
he laughs nervously as he's being buffeted by rain and wind from the open wall beside him. The key's not working. The key's not working. I know it's a big favor to ask, but could I ask for you to help me put my shoulder to the door, find a fire axe or something like that?
No, let's just bash it down. We don't have time.
Yeah, you're bigger than me. You do it.
I mean, granted, I'm not that much bigger. I only have might at 2, but I do have athletics of 3, so.
Yeah.
That famous sport of bashing down doors with your shoulder.
Right. More of a hurdling guy, but sure, would be the sword.
That's how you tackle people, shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
2 successes, actually.
Okay, and he is assisting. I'm going to make a roll for him, and I'm going to use my Vampire the Requiem dice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Does I've been using my Vampire the Masquerade dice.
Ooh. Ooh. I've been using my Trinity dice.
Ooh.
Look at all of us with our geeky dice.
Just being on brand.
Yeah. It would be product placement if we sold these.
Yeah, right. The products no longer exist. We're so good at this.
Avoiding complications, both of you. Ooh, and that die is lost forever. avoiding complications, you are able to crack the door from its security hinge and it swings open. The entire front wall of his room is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bed. Presumably that's been scooped up and swept away.
Why did we break down the door? We could have just like walked around the...
Yeah, we could have left the hotel.
Just stepped around the wall.
You're only on the fifth floor.
I'm sure it won't be blown off into the sea. It'd be fine. It would have been fine.
Luckily, that lovely uniform set that exists in every single hotel room, where as you were walking through the door, on the left are your clothes hangers, your safe, your mini bar and fridge and desk. And on the right would be the bathroom and the bed. Well, the bathroom and the bed have taken a rather nasty knock, but the clothes hangers, mini bar and fridge are still intact. And he looks out the window and he says, "Thank you." Well, out the window, out the gaping chasm into the hurricane, and says, "Thank you." And then he starts pressing buttons on the safe.
Okay. Wait for him to open it, because I got to see what this is now.
He opens the safe. With a click. There's even more bundles of cash in there, and he leaves them to pick up a yellow envelope and stuffs it in his coat pocket, in his jacket pocket. Right, let's sort out the people on the floor below, at which point you hear a loud creak. You feel it as well as the floor starts to give way beneath you.
Running.
Could you both do athletics and I think dexterity?
Sure.
I think I have dexterity.
Yikes.
Yikes on bikes.
I have a success.
I rolled a 2, a 3, a 3, and a 5.
So, Eddie got 8.
Well, this is a fun game. Thank you for running, Matthew. Really appreciate you running the game, bro.
And the hotel collapses on you. Your adventure ends here.
Dangerous. Hooked into the sea.
Play Scion.
I hope this gave you a good impression of what the game is. Well, I'm going to, despite this guy's nature, I'm going to roll for him as well. Just to tell you what he got a 4, a 6 and a 4. So as the floor buckles and you try to outrun the disaster around you, both Faye and your new friend, who has so far gone nameless, collapsing through the floor. The floor gives way and they start slipping down into the floor below. Kian, you narrowly make the precipice as the floor collapses below you. You only got one success, however. So on your complicated fail, you are basically clinging on by your fingertips in the seconds that it takes for your companions to fall through the floor below. Are you going to fall with them or try and climb up?
No, I'm going to go for a controlled fall.
Okay. Let's go for a dexterity and athletics again then, I think.
All right. Do better. There we go, 3 successes.
You tell those dice.
Somehow you manage to control your fall and land on a bed below you. It's a small miracle, or maybe the gods are smiling in your favor. One cannot say the same for your two companions, who land and end up bruised on the ground below. It could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot, lot worse. And you're not sure how long this fourth floor is going to remain intact, given that it's just had a fifth floor fall into it.
Hey, we're in the right place. I start knocking on doors, though.
That's the kind of optimism I like to see.
So a quick note, since we're all learning the rules, also showing people how to do the rules. Every time you take an injury condition, you have to specify what that condition is. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned they're bruised. I'm guessing, are we talking like scrapes and bruises? Are we talking like, twisted ankle?
I'm going to say that your new companion has a twisted ankle and Faye has scrapes and bruises.
Because I wear combat boots, so it's hard to twist my ankles.
Exactly.
All right, see?
It's a real life hack.
Life hack. If ever you're falling through a building in a hotel, wear combat boots.
Yeah, make sure you're dressed as for a rave.
I didn't say platform boots, I said combat boots. I've got like steel-toed Doc Martens on. What?
Yeah, actually, if you're wearing platform boots when you fell through a ceiling, you probably would twist an ankle.
Yeah, that's probably worse than
yeah. Right. You see Faye and your new friend laying there, groaning, complaining.
I'm gonna check them. Oh, you know, screw some braces. Okay, stand up, Faye. You're fine.
I'm fine.
Our friend up, and he stands up. He's like, "You're not gonna walk. So just, can you make your way down to the bar again?"
Yeah. I can do that.
Cool. Because you're gonna be useless to me. So go.
The door to the room that you've fallen into is still there, but then it opens, and there's a woman stood there. And she looks at the three of you as if you have just intruded into her hotel room.
I mean, we have, but also what?
And then she says, "Oscar," and points at him with a finger. And she puts her hand in her purse. And she pulls a gun out.
And we're back.
What a cliffhanger!
Starring Sylvester Stallone, John Lithgow, and and Pa Walton.
John Lithgow's in Cliffhanger?
He is. He's the villain.
I haven't thought about Cliffhanger since I was like 7 years old. When did that movie come out?
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking it up.
I'd say 92. All right, let's place bets. I think 1992 for Cliffhanger. What
I'm going to say 90.
1993.
Oh,
okay.
All right. So I was at least 8 when I heard about it, because I was 8 in 93. But whatever. Point is, I know that movie in years.
I remember that tense moment at the beginning with Sly Stallone gripping that the young lady's glove. "Why'd you let her go?" That isn't Sylvester Stallone saying that. That was his partner up on the mountain, who was an actor of no real note. at least from memory. For all I know, it could have been a young... who's an actor of note. It could have been Robert De Niro.
Yeah, or it's an actor who has since decided that he's going to leave acting and join the lucrative world of role-playing games and actually listens to this podcast and is now going to unsubscribe because you're very mean to him.
I tell you what, if you are listening to this podcast, whoever the hell you are, you get in touch and we will have you on as a special guest. We'll interview you about your time on Cliffhanger.
Michael Hello, who the hell was in this movie.
Who?
Y'all, Michael Rooker.
Wow.
Oh. Huh.
Like, he might have actually been the other guy. I don't know who played whom. But Michael Rooker was in it.
Michael
Rooker. That was Michael Rooker.
Oh.
So Michael Rooker, if you're listening to this.
Michael Rooker, if you can take a break from filming Guardians. Well, no, he's not filming Guardians of the Galaxy. His character is not around anymore. So I don't know what you're doing right now, Michael Rooker. You're probably just doing Walking Dead appearances every single convention ever. But you can take a break from that.
It's all about role-playing games that you clearly know much about.
Point is, it was a famous person. It was someone that ended up being famous, and I find that interesting.
Oh, well.
So anyway.
There you go. But yeah, as I said, Pa Walton was in it. John Walton Sr. And of the Waltons, obviously. And I remember as a child when I saw Cliffhanger for the first time. This is a very odd place to go after our Cyan actual play. We're not going to comment on the game whatsoever.
No. We're just going to get shot at the end of the episode, actually.
We're just going to talk about Cliffhanger. It's fine.
Yeah, there will be a part two, just for anyone who's interested. This is just part one.
No, part two goes like this. Bang. And then we go back to the outro. Spoiler.
Yeah, to be honest, with all of the connection problems we ended up having, that could well be where this episode ends. But yeah, I remember, and I'll be interested if any listeners could comment to this effect, either on the Onyx Path blog or wherever they download this podcast from. Paul Walton is one of the cliffhanger rescuers. What would they be? Mountain rescue. And he's in a helicopter. And it's clear that the sunlight is making him squint at all times during this movie. Even when he's on the mountainside, he's constantly squinting, but he's also grimacing. He's supposed to be grimacing anyway, because there's a lot of horror in Cliffhanger, or at least a lot of suspense. But it just looks like he's grinning manically. throughout the entire film, even when people are falling off cliffs, John Walton is stood there just staring with a mad Joker grin on his face. And when I was a child, it made me cheer. My parents still tell me about this, that I cheered when John Walton was shot by John Lithgow in Cliffhanger, because I thought he was the villain. I thought John Walton was just there laughing and all his fellow mountain rescue people were dying.
I want to let you know that John Walton is not listed on the IMDb for Cliffhanger, don't know who you're talking about.
No, not the actor. So you know the Waltons with John Boy and...
not really, because I'm not 65.
Yeah, it was commonly repeated on Sunday lunchtime. So when the family would get together... at my house, we'd have our Sunday
dinner.
So
it's the guy that played John Walton, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's important to point out right now that I actually have never seen this movie, and it wasn't until right near the end of your story that I realized that Cliffhanger is literally about hanging off of cliffs.
That's what it's about.
I had no idea it was that.
Well, it's about some criminals that buried some money, and it's like on a mountain or something. And so they hire Sylvester Stallone, who like used to be mountain rescuer. They make him like they force him to go help them get the money.
Yeah, they take him hostage. Well, they take someone hostage and force him to take them up the mountain. I don't remember whether they bury something on the mountain then, or is there a helicopter crash and they need to recover their treasure?
Maybe it's that. I was 8. I don't remember. I think I saw it on TV once when I was like 9 or 10.
This sounds like high quality cinema is what I'm hearing.
And it's certainly been a while, yeah.
It was a big movie in 93.
Yeah, I think they parodied it in one of the Ace Ventura movies.
I have seen these
things. I think you'll find that Cliffhanger was most commonly parodied by a young Jim Carrey back before he became obnoxious, but before he really grew up as an actor.
Wait, are you saying that Ace Ventura was before he became obnoxious? Because Ace Ventura movies are transphobic nightmares.
Yeah, according to the character, I just... that wasn't
Matthew's
really
not saying
character.
That. The character. The character wouldn't say that.
Other movies from 1993 include The Fugitive, Groundhog Day, and Jurassic Park. So it's okay if you don't remember Cliffhanger. Also, Schindler's List, Nightmare Before Christmas, Mrs. Doubtfire, True Romance, Dazed and Confused. This is a movie podcast now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put The Fugitive
Tombstone?
In 1993.
Tombstone was in 93?
Yeah. Wow, also, The Sandlot, which is what I cared about at that age. Philadelphia, Demolition Man.
I remember seeing
Tombstone. Many movies. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how you didn't see Cliffhanger. It was obviously the best of all of those movies I just mentioned.
Obviously. Clearly, I was just missing out.
So, thoughts on Scion?
I've forgotten already. I'm going to have to go watch Cliffhanger and forget about this game entirely.
It was fine. I had a lot of fun playing. I definitely, for the... You know, this is one of those things where sometimes it would help to talk a little bit more with your storyteller or story guide beforehand, because I probably would have given my girl, like, an action skill if I had known we were going to be playing a big action-heavy game. But the cool thing about StoryPath is that you can use other skills that maybe aren't, like, don't seem as applicable to do stuff. Like... me using leadership to encourage someone to help them get out from, you know, under some rubble.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that was really cool because I was like, I didn't take athletics. I didn't take, like, firearms. Like, I didn't take... I've got some brawl, but that's it. Like, I'm not a strong character. I built a very, like, social, you know, manipulation character. And then it's like, oh, well, you're doing search and rescue for the first session. And I was like, shit. But it ended up working out. It was fun.
Yeah, it's the kind of game, you know, I think everyone likes to do a post-match analysis on games they run.
Right.
And I definitely see that short scenario as the kind of thing that would introduce a group to each other, but then the next scenario I would run would be far more social-heavy or research-heavy. Well, of course, every game has an element of all of these things. I think this one definitely leans more toward the physical because of the nature of the disaster that's taking place.
Right.
But we won't ruin what happens in part two, obviously. If you're on, Tenterhooks, waiting to know, then you can always look it up on the Onyx Path YouTube channel. But why? Why bother when it will come to you in the next couple of weeks via podcast?
Indeed.
Indoodly-deedly.
Now it's a Simpsons podcast.
So, before we wrap up, and because I'm sure some people will be interested to know, Eddie, what do you know of the approximate time at which Scion will be on release?
I believe it is going to be early June is when we're planning to release it, last I recall. Mm-hmm. By the time you're listening to this, it should be available. I think pre-orders just wrapped up. I think listening to this for stores. So if your store hasn't pre-ordered it, then let your store know that you're interested, and hopefully it will be coming in the next few weeks.
And are there any interesting topics, any interesting books that you are currently working on? Dixie?
What if I just said no? Again?
you could if you're really obstinate.
Nah, bro.
I will say that according to the Monday Meeting blog from the other day, it does say that Scion straight up goes up Wednesday, June 5th.
Okay.
Like, there's an actual date for that, so, yeah.
Okay, good. I knew that it was announced somewhere, but I've forgotten where and when, because we're all timey-wimey.
I was my bets.
Right.
No, it's fine. I have been working on Dark Eras for a few weeks now. I know some listeners might be curious as to why it's been in editing for a while. The first 2 weeks or so, it was just to, you know, get some transparency for fun. The first 2 weeks or so that it was in editing, it was because I wasn't actually working on it yet. I was wrapping up something else. Sometimes that happens. Working on two books at once is not always easy. I only usually do it if one is like a palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm working on like a fiction collection at the same time as I'm working on something that's incredibly dark. For instance, I did Book of the Fallen for Mage the Ascension at the same time I was doing the Monarchies of Mao fiction collection.
Two very different books.
Right. So when I got tired about reading about atrocities, I would go read about cats. But with Dark Eras, it's been a lot of fact-checking and also game line checking, because any book that includes all of our Chronicles game lines, including a couple that aren't released in their second edition form yet, is going to be a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then add that to the fact that I do fact-check dates and names of historical figures and place names and things of that nature. It's a lot harder to edit than almost anything else that we work on. Anything that is like a major historical or major set in real world with real world cultures kind of thing, always just takes me longer. Like Scion took me a while for the same reason when I was first going through it. And just because I was checking all the names of the gods and trying to make sure they were spelled right and make sure they, you know, and even then, you know, some things slip through because it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm still working on Dark Eras, which has been super, super fun. I've really enjoyed all the eras that we have chosen for this one. As it is Chronicles of Darkness, a lot of them are very dark. But they're all fun, and they'd all be really, really cool settings to play around in. So I cannot wait to actually get that back uploaded so that my developers can see it.
Wonderful.
What about you, Matthew?
What about me? Ooh, what am I working on? What am I not working on?
I was going to say, what are you not working
everything,
on?
Everything.
Yeah, I've got two more books in my queue after Dark Eras, which hopefully will get faster because they're mostly fictional.
So, yeah, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a few books that I've been really sort of grinding down into paste. And one of them
Please
is Contagion
don't do that.
Chronicle. One of them is the Contagion Chronicle, which has many of the same challenges as Dark Eras 2. It's a book that contains a whole myriad of game lines, and so you have to really work hard to make sure it makes sense. I don't have the historic issues that Dark Eras do in terms of fact checking. But I do have to make sure that all of the game line systems make sense, and especially the powers, the vectors that the factions in Contagion Chronicles have access to. They've all got to offer something to every single line, and that is an interesting challenge in terms of balance and, what would another word be, appeal, because I think Mage of the Awakening is almost the biggest challenge. It's a game in which you can theoretically do anything. So having vectors that allow you to do even more than that, or do that without so much penalty, is an interesting challenge that I've been working on, and I've had a lot of help from Megan Fitzgerald in that regard, because Megan is fantastic.
Megan is fantastic.
She is. And we will interview her again soon, I have no doubt. The other books I've been working on are mostly at sort of the closing stages. C20 Player's Guide, I have been inputting errata, or working with Pete Woodworth in that regard. And likewise, Shunned by the Moon has been going through proofing. So there's a couple of books that are getting very close to release. And other than that, I'm hoping after the UK Games Expo, which as of time of upload, we will be at, or at least Eddie and myself will be at.
I say y'all are going without me because you hate me. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's true.
in the week following, I think I might actually take some time off before I start getting back into the They Came From Beneath the Sea, Red Lines, and other such books. But yeah, I may have some days where I'm not writing or even looking at my laptop.
I don't even understand that sentence.
Yeah,
that doesn't compute for me either.
And Eddie, anything from you?
I am in Kickstarter chaos right now. Obviously, we're still in the Pirates of Pungmire Kickstarter, which at the time of this recording is close to $25,000. We have not funded yet. So if you have not yet backed Pirates of Pungmire, please do so. It's a lot of fun. We've got some great actual plays done by Travis Legg with Dixie in it, the other actual play she was in this week.
Yeah, that was fun.
So
I played a cat.
Yeah, and also had a couple of some other established D&D players. One of the players actually has written a story for the Pugmire anthology, Joshua Deutsch. So definitely check it out. Check out the Kickstarter. But definitely it's that interesting place of where my experienced professional brain is like, okay, you know, we're on track. If things go well, if we keep the hype up, we should fund. And the squirrel part of my brain is like going, you're a complete failure. Everything's going to fall apart. Oh my God, everyone hates Pugmire. So that's always entertaining.
Well, I know we mention it a lot, but Pirates of Pugmire was great fun to work on. And I am sure that it will hit its target. I know, famous last words. But
so if it doesn't, I can blame you. Got it.
Yeah, you can anyway, because a lot of the fiction I wrote has been previewed now. So if anyone was turned off by anything, it would have been my work, Eddie.
To be fair, a lot of people have said they really enjoyed the fiction. Also, a lot of people who have previewed the character creation stuff that Dixie wrote, like, I'm very excited about that. So, I mean, you know, but I've heard lots of praise about both of your respective works on the game.
That's been super cool for me to read, though. It's like my first like rating thing that's gone out into the world, really. Mm-hmm. And so hearing people enjoy it and, like, even seeing the critiques, I'm like, oh, no, you're totally right. Like, I messed that up, like, as far as, like, you know, every now and then there's, like, a D&D rule that I just didn't quite apply correctly. Mm-hmm. But, like, overall, people seem to really like the new callings and all the fiction and, you know, hopefully they like all the adventures and everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great book. I'm proud to have worked on it with you guys. I'm proud of what it'll be out there. I just hope that the rest of the Pugmire community also thinks it's worthy of throwing money at.
Well, with all that said, if people want to find you on social media, Dixie, where would they go?
You can find me as Dixie Cyanide on pretty much all social media. I'm very easy to find.
And Eddie?
You can find me on Twitter as Eddie Fate, EddyFate. That's also my personal website. You can find me on Facebook as Eddie Webb Writer. And you can find my professional stuff at Pugsteady or Pugsteady.com.
Excellent. And you can find me on MatthewDawkins.com, and all of my social media is linkable through there. But also, as mentioned earlier, do subscribe to the Onyx Path YouTube channel if you want to be up to date with our various actual plays and other sort of essay-like videos about some of our games. We do that from time to time. And many worlds.